Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell, Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, July 13th. Today happens to be the birthday of Miss Leah Rickard, so we want to wish Leah a happy birthday today. Amen. Well, I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast that my wife and I were traveling down to Resaca, Georgia. We're going to be in the Faith Baptist Camp meeting there yesterday and today, and then we're going on into North Carolina on tomorrow. So I hope you'll pray for us, and hope you stay tuned, enjoy the song, and then the message from the Word of God. All right, as we said yesterday, we are in the final week of our study of the Sermon on the Mount. Two sermons this week. Tomorrow we'll complete this first one, and then Thursday and Friday we'll have the final sermon of the study of the Sermon on the Mount series. We are looking at men's judgment upon the words of our Lord, their reaction, and their response. I started talking yesterday about the astonishment at his doctrine. We're going to continue that thought today and mention the fact that the appropriateness of their delayed response. And we'll deal with some of that again on today's program. Hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. Looking at, actually we've completed the sermon. The sermon's over. We're going to look at the last two verses of chapter number 7, which deal with the response or the reaction. It's more a reaction than a response. I'm afraid a lot of times that's the case, especially in this generation, that there is a reaction to the sermon rather than a response to the sermon. We'll see that as we go. That's really our message for today. But verse number 28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Lord willing, we're going to look at these last two verses today and deal with it this morning and tonight. I'd like to deal with verse number 28 for our morning section, and then deal with verse number 29 tonight as we look at it. Break it down into two different points and hopefully bring you the thought that might be helpful. And as I said, particularly the message for today deals really with the response that these people had of the sermon that our Lord had preached to them at that time. The sermon, as I said, actually came to a close when our Lord is dealing with what I call the parable. He doesn't call it a parable, but it is a picture story of two men building two different, looks like the buildings may have been very much the same, but they're two totally different buildings because of the foundation. One had a foundation, one had no foundation. Of course, the wise builder is the man that heard and heeded the words of our Lord. The foolish builder is one that heard but didn't heed. And now we're going to see these people, really, as it comes to a close, their response to that. And it looks to me like I don't see many of these men actually following the Lord. I don't see many of these actually becoming his disciples and following him, it doesn't seem. Matter of fact, I thought about this. I thought, why, when Peter preached on Pentecost, had that great outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and all those sinners got saved, you never see that in the life of our Lord. And you know the Lord was a better preacher than Peter. Amen. He had to, as if I could say it, he had to have more of the power of God upon him than Peter did, and yet you didn't see the multitudes coming to be saved in the message, in the preaching of our Lord. Now, there's a few reasons, and one thing is our Lord said, greater things than these shall ye do. They're going to see more of the outpouring. But Christ didn't come at that time to make a name for himself or to really make a big following of himself. He came to present the Father and point men to the Father at this time. Now, think about, I'll get that picture. Our Lord was a man. He's the man, Christ Jesus. But he was not a wimpy man. Amen. I believe he was a bold man. There's a time to be angry. There's a time to be bold. There's a time to be brash. But you ought to be a gentleman about it. Say amen right there. I believe that's right. But I think about him and his boldness. Then I'm preaching that. And I wonder if some that were standing and listening, as it would appear,
in most of his sermons, he was the one seated and they were standing as he preached to them. And I wonder if some of them standing there might have thought, you know, he's talking about a kingdom and we're under Roman authority. We're under the Roman Empire. I wonder that he's not afraid. I wonder that he's not a little bit nervous talking about him being a king and him setting up a kingdom and him being a judge. And here we are under the authority of the Romans, but our Lord was not afraid of the Roman authority. Now, with those introductory remarks aside, let's look at this astonishment at his doctrine. There's three things I want to try to point out this morning on that. First of all, I want you to notice the appropriateness of the delayed response. In verse number 28, it tells us when they made their response. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. It was appropriate that they delayed their response. They had not jumped to a conclusion before he reached the conclusion. They took in the facts. They took in the information. Our Lord, matter of fact, started chapter number 7 of the Sermon on the Mount with those very warnings to us not to prejudge things, to be careful how we're judging things when we've not looked at all the information, when we've not looked at ourselves in the mirror, when we've not investigated as we ought to. And so our Lord has told us not to prejudge things without proper consideration and without proper devoting time to personal reflection. Amen. I don't encourage sinners to wait till tomorrow to get saved. But at the same time, I think it's wise for them to stew in conviction a little bit. I think it's wise for them to think on these things. Amen. I think it's good that the Holy Ghost would draw them. Matter of fact, I've told this story before. I'll tell it again. And I know we're living in a day of short sound bites. We're living in a day when people's mind is, we don't have the concentration that they used to have. Matter of fact, when Abraham Lincoln and when they had the Lincoln and Douglas debates, when they would debate one another, it was not uncommon for each man to take an hour or more to lay out his point before the first question was asked. And people would sit and listen to that. Now, if they don't say it in 5 seconds, a 5 second sound bite, people can't seem to take that in. But the Holy Ghost does not have to work in 5 second sound bites. The Holy Ghost works through time. Amen. Here's the story I started to tell. You may have read it before, but the first time that what we call an open invitation was given, where they invited people to come forward and be saved or to make a decision for Christ, as the idea has been promoted. The first time that was done at Metropolitan Tabernacle, of course, was after that Charles Spurgeon had died and A.C. Dixon now was there. A.C. Dixon had been at Moody Tabernacle, which is not a Baptist church. He had been pastoring there and then had gone to a Metropolitan Tabernacle, and he gave that first invitation. And the next day, one of the elders came to him, or after the service, one of the elders came to him and said Master Spurgeon would not have approved of the way that the invitation was given. A.C. Dixon said, how would Spurgeon have done it? He said Spurgeon would have invited people to consider the sermon and to consider the moving of God and then to meet him some other time, and said he would be in his office, for example, to give a time in the morning that he'd be in his office and they could come by and talk to him in the morning. And A.C. Dixon said, I don't like to wait like that. He said, I like to strike while the iron is hot. That's what A.C. Dixon said. Here's what that man said. That man said, he said, Master Spurgeon believed that if it's Holy Ghost fire, it'd still be hot in the morning. Amen. Amen. In other words, not just moving on emotion, not just moving on a spur of the moment decision. Amen. I think we have, if we're not careful, and I realize probably a lot of that is based on the fact we are convinced that sinners could die any minute and go to hell much more than they're convinced that they could die any minute and go to hell. Amen. But we ought to also be convinced that God is interested in them getting the facts. And if God gives them the facts, not that he's saying them wait, because he never says tomorrow is the day that is accepted. He never says tomorrow is the, he says come now and let us reason together. But there's a reasoning process. It's not a jumping to conclusions process. It's not an emotional response, or not a purely, it could be emotional, but not a purely emotional response. The intellect is involved. Amen. And so our Lord has just warned them about that in the first 5 verses of chapter number 7. But he also warned them in verse number 6 about the dire need for properly discriminating the facts. properly not only gathering, but making the right choice, because there's danger involved if you make the wrong choice. The book of Proverbs deals with that as well. I'm going to read you verse number 13 of Proverbs 18 says, "He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and a shame unto him." Have you ever started to ask somebody a question, and before you got the whole question asked, they answer? And the answer, you know, the way they answer is not the way they would have answered if they'd have listened to the whole question, because they jump to that conclusion. And Proverbs said it's folly for you to do that, and it brings shame for you to do that. Charles Bridges wrote an excellent commentary on the book of Proverbs in the 1800s. As a matter of fact, his book was so good, Charles Spurgeon said it was the best. That's a quote. "The best work on Proverbs available." That's the quote from Charles Spurgeon. Here's what Charles Bridges said. He said, and about this verse, he said, "Too often is this proverb verified in common life. Men will scarcely hear out what is unacceptable to them. They will break in upon a speaker before he has fairly heard him, and therefore answer a matter which they have little weighed and but imperfectly understood. The eager disputant prides himself on his acute judgment. He interrupts his opponent and confutes arguments or contradicts statements before he has fairly heard them. This impatient spirit only stamps a man's character with folly and shame." That's what Mr. Charles Bridges said about that proverb. He's right. We're living in a day when people don't listen to what you're saying. Amen. They're hearing what they want to hear, and they're making conclusions based on their own thinking rather than what they're hearing or what's going on before them. And by the way, Oriental Easterners in that day, and still to this day, are well known for that. If you've seen movies or seen accounts of that, the Arabs, for example, and Jewish leaders are quick to strike out. For example, when our Lord was speaking and the high priest slapped our Lord through the mouth, you remember that? You remember when Paul was speaking, and again, the high priest slapped Paul through the mouth. They jump out in judgment, and by the way, that was judgment that was against the Word of God. Amen. The high priest wasn't to react in that kind of a matter. The high priest was to hear the matter, and then he was to designate as it was appropriate in that matter. But he didn't hear it. He reacted in a purely emotional response. And Oriental Easterners have always been marked for their hot-headed and quick-tempered, opinionated responses, often forcefully acting before they have heard fully the facts that are laid before them. Well, the Bible and our Savior warn us against that type of foolish and hurtful reaction. So it was appropriate for them to hear him out. It was appropriate for them to listen to what he had to say. Amen. It is not wise to make decisions before you've gathered the facts. Amen. That one of the things they're arguing about now in some of these investigations going on, that the same FBI agents that determined Hillary Clinton was innocent before they ever interviewed or checked out the first fact, some of those same agents had determined that Mr. Trump was guilty before they'd ever interviewed the first interview or looked at the first fact. That is not good investigation. I don't care how, you know, for or against, either one, that's not a good sign. That's a sign of immaturity, not a sign of maturity. A sign of maturity is one that will listen. Amen. Before running off. Amen. Well, these people did the right thing in waiting until the end of our Lord's sermon before they drew their opinions. They did at least listen, hear him out to the end before they made their decision. Again, that shows good manners. Amen. I believe it shows good maturity, and I believe it shows good sense. Amen. Secondly, I want you to notice not only the appropriate of the delayed response, but I want you to notice the astonishment was a deficient reaction. The people, the last phrase of verse number 28, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now, although they waited till the end, the proper time to make their response, these people had a response that was improper, or at least was deficient. You say, "Preacher, is it not right to be amazed and astonished at the teachings of Christ?" I'll say, sure. Amen. After all, we call it amazing grace. Amen. It is amazing. Amen. It's proper to be amazed. It's proper to be astonished at the teachings of our Lord. But the amazement in itself is not enough. There's got to be an application, not just astonishment. Amen. There's got to be an applying, not just an amazement. at what's going on. Amen. So before we go to the reaction and take it to its proper extent, I want you to notice just a moment some of the reasons for the astonishment. The last point is the proper response that we'll look at. So it was appropriate for them to delay, but the astonishment was deficient. I'll say that the average person that heard our Lord, apparently, was amazed at His teaching. You think about it. You've got a human speaking. I'm looking at purely human eyes. These Jews that see Jesus, you know what they see? They see a little boy that grew up in a carpenter's shop, and yet he knows that Bible like he wrote it himself, because he did. You're looking at a boy that grew up in not only a carpenter's shop, a carpenter's home. They know the story that there's some cloud, there's some innuendo, there's some question about his birth and his fatherhood and his father and all that. And yet he speaks as if God is his father. That would be amazing. Amen. All through the Bible, when you find our Lord speaking, you find people being astonished or people being amazed. Matter of fact, I've got some of those verses listed here. If you want to turn, first of all, look, if you will, Luke chapter number 2. We'll look in Matthew, Mark, and Luke at some of these. But Luke chapter number 2, and I think one of the first accounts of that, our Lord is in the temple. You know, He's 12 years old, and Joseph and Mary have gone to the temple to worship, as they probably would have done every year as a yearly thing. And now our Lord has been left behind. They don't know that He's behind, but He is. They miss Him. They go looking for Him. 3 days later, they find Him. He's in the temple, all right? Verse number 47, and all that heard Him, you see this phrase? All that heard Him were astonished. What was they astonished at? At His understanding and answers. I like verse number 46, go along with that. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found Him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. But here's what they found it amazing. This little boy, not only amazing at his questions, but amazed at his answers. That's what the next verse 47 says. They're amazed at his answers. Now, it's not amazing when little boys have questions. Sometimes it's amazing at the number of questions and sometimes at the questions that they ask. I mean, they ask all kinds of questions. It's questioning. And our Lord was asking these doctors questions. That's what He said, questioning. But He had answers. And so they were amazed that He knew the answers to the questions that were being asked. All right, look at verse number 48. Read on. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. Not just astonished, but amazed. And they go together. And His mother said unto Him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And He said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which He spake unto them. Amen. And so Mary said to Him, and by the way, she calls Joseph his father. Joseph is not his earthly father. And He makes it plain that he must be about his real father's business, his spiritual father. He knows that he has, and of course He's his heavenly father, and his real father. Amen. And so you see, you notice in this case that the word astonished is found in verse number 47, and they were astonished at His great answers and understanding that this young child was able to give to those that were doctors of the law, those that had studied the Word of God, those that were teachers in the temple. His wisdom and His knowledge of the Scriptures, His knowledge of God, His knowledge of Israel astonished them. And then verse 48 uses the word amazed. It describes the reaction of Joseph and of Mary when they found the 12-year-old Christ. The word amazed is translated from the same Greek word as the word astonished has been translated. Now, I say this again. It's not wrong for people to be amazed and astonished at the words and the actions of our Lord. Verse 50 tells you why they were amazed and astonished. Because they understood not. It was beyond their comprehension. It was beyond their understanding. Now, turn back with me, if you will, to Mark. Hold your place in Luke because we're coming back. Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 21 and 22. I'll show you some more of these amazements. I'll just show you a few of these and then we'll move on. Talk about why they were amazed. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day He entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Now that verse is almost identical to the verse in Matthew, but this happens not on the mountain, this happens not in Jerusalem, and not on the mount, but it happens at Capernaum, and it happens in the synagogue. But our Lord's it's the same thing He's teaching, and they are amazed, they are astonished at His teaching. Now back in Luke chapter number 4, if you want to turn there you can, verse number 31, the Bible says in Luke 4, 31, and He came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days, and they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power. Again, they're amazed at His doctrine, but they're amazed that He's got authority. They are amazed that He's got power backing up what He's saying. Amen. It's not just what He said, and it's not just how He said it, but that's included. But it's the fact that what He said not only made sense, what He said rang deep, and it spoke deeply unto them. Amen. I remember sitting in church. I have no idea how many sermons I heard. As far as I know, the first time I ever went to church was when I was 8 days old. My mom and dad went to a revival meeting. Mom and dad got saved when I was 8 days old. Amen. And I don't remember missing church after that. I'm just being honest with you. Growing up, we went to church. If there's having church, if it was revival meeting, it didn't matter what it was. Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, all the same. We went to the house of God. So I have no idea how many sermons I heard. I have no idea how many messages I heard. But I remember the day when it rung in my heart. I remember when it spoke deep to me and I was astonished. It was beyond me. I realized sinners wasn't just a blanket expression about people out in the world. I was the sinner that He was talking about. Amen. And it rang in my heart.
And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. So we're going to have to break in the message right there. But Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow and continue this message. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.